Hello and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we discuss some topical leadership issues. This week we're focusing on events up to the 16th of November 2018. My name's Nick Scott. I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute of Leadership and Management, and I'm joined today by the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
At the annual Web Summit in Lisbon, Reddit founder Alexis Ohanian is reported to have coined the term hustle porn, which critically describes the glorification of the long hours culture, which is said to be widespread, particularly in the tech industry. Unless you are grinding, unless you are working every hour of every day and posting about it on Instagram, you're not working hard enough. Is it surprising to hear these patterns of behaviour seem to still be the norm in some sectors?
Initially, it's surprising because the type A personality associated so much with workaholics was flagged up as being in danger of heart disease as long ago as the 1990s. Yet when we hear about expectations of Netflix, of their staff, obviously those cultures still pervade.
Famously, Melinda Gates, in her first column for LinkedIn, after it was acquired by Microsoft, argued that there are a number of other fixes to today's work hard or fail doctrine, including diversity programs, mentoring, pro-family policies such as paid family leave. She must be on the right lines here.
I think there's no doubt that flexible working is very attractive. Not only because we can combine work with different caring responsibilities, but for the intrinsic satisfaction that we obtain from having that degree of control over our working lives. I think it's interesting that somebody is showing off to some extent about their long working hours when we know how damaging poor work-life balance can be.
At virtually the other end of the spectrum, the Financial Times reported that Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell has teamed up with economist Robert Skidelsky to explore the feasibility of a four-day working week as technology, including automation and AI, pick up some of the labour force burden. The CBI has taken a more cautious tone, however, over the potential of a four-day week, saying, at a time when flexible working is becoming more essential than ever, rigid approaches like this feel like a step in the wrong direction. So, Kate, what's your view of the proposed four-day week?
The notion of a five-day week is oddly old-fashioned, I think, and reducing that to a four-day week so we all knock off on Thursday, apart from being unrealistic, forgets or overlooks the fact that increased leisure time for some is, of course, increased working for others. I think we should be really talking about a reduction in the number of hours that people are expected to work, because, of course, over time there has been a reduction, and this is very much linked with economic prosperity. So that's correct, but it's how we manage those hours that I think is the bigger question. And describing it as 4 days is really sending out the wrong message.
On a different tack, newly published research by consultants PwC reveals that over half of UK family businesses are looking to hand over leadership to the next generation. However, less than 20% have a formally communicated plan in place, and less than 3 in 10 have even discussed any transition with the younger generation. Is succession planning especially difficult for family businesses?
We often talk about the lack or absence of succession plans and the consequences of not having one. But we also know that difficult conversations are the ones that we're most likely to avoid. Family relationships are problematic without overlaying them with difficult work conversations. So it's not at all surprising that there is a reluctance to engage with this particular dynamic in family businesses.
The survey also found that around half of family businesses are planning to bring in expertise from outside of the family. Does this imply a lack of confidence in the next generation? Or is it just good business sense to augment what you have got with established proven talent?
If the younger generation have decided they don't want to engage to such a great extent with the family business and want to move on, explore other avenues, absolutely, we need new talent. If the business is growing and new skills are needed that are not present, we need new talent. It's hard to imagine a scenario when somebody is sacking one's son, daughter, cousin, uncle in order to bring in an outsider.
And finally this week, Kate was the guest of BBC in Media City, Salford, where Eleanor Oldroyd wanted to know about Equal Pay Day.
Across the UK, this is BBC Five Live, Saturday Breakfast.
Now, today, the 10th of November, is Equal Pay Day. It's been named that by the equality and women's rights charity, the Fawcett Society, and effectively it means that women work for free for the rest of the year due to the gender pay gap. Kate Cooper is Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Good morning to you.
Hello.
How do you calculate this idea that women are now working for free for the rest of the year?
We look at the gender pay gap, which shows us the difference between, on average, what men earn and what women earn, and that's at 14%. So actually, by the time we've got to 86% through the year, women have stopped earning, effectively, if you just compare that to what men earn.
And some women are talking about putting their out of office up on their emails to say, right, OK, I'm not working anymore. I mean, that's sort of a tongue-in-cheek comment on it all.
Essentially, it's drawing attention to something that's quite important in quite a way that we all understand out of office, what that means, and the idea you're sort of clocking off on November the 10th till the end of the year because you're not being paid is quite amusing.
So why is there still a pay gap in this country?
Well, there's a variety of reasons, as there always are, but essentially more men are in senior positions, more women are more likely to work part-time, and more women are overrepresented in lower paid occupations.
And we've had a lot of discussion about this in the last kind of 18 months or so. The BBC, of course, had to publish their salaries back in last summer as well. Have things improved since then? I mean, did that make a lot of companies sit up and take notice and say, right, we need to change?
It's too early to say because, of course, we've only just reported quite recently on this. I think I was particularly heartened by the degree of participation in the publication, although loads of companies did leave it to the last minute. Some companies were particularly embarrassed by the size of their gap. So I think this time next year, if this day hasn't shifted, then we really have to ask questions about how are we going to change what are essentially structural inequalities.
There is a biological fact in this that most women who are lucky enough to be able to have children, most of them will take a gap in their careers. So is that enough to explain why there is a gender pay gap?
Not really, because the penalty, such as it is for being a woman, is whether you're a mother or not. So, of course, women don't progress in organisations. It's not that mothers don't progress in organisations. And, of course, especially as our working lives are getting longer and longer, the gap that you're out for children, given in the UK, you know, we're not even having 2 point, I think it's just about 2.4 children for those women that do have them. You're not out of the workforce for very long. So it's really, the penalty is disproportionate.
And yeah, sorry, finish your point, Kate.
I was just going to say, and often people get time off to do exciting sabbatical things, maybe like swim around the UK or go on a round-the-world yacht adventure, and that's just taking time out of the workplace.
Very interesting to talk to you, Kate. Thank you very much indeed. Kate Cooper, who is Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management.
Well, thanks to Kate and Eleanor Oldroyd there of Radio 5 Live. Sadly, that's all we have time for this week. Please go to the website www.institutelm.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management. And please subscribe to this podcast series.